In our previous shiur, we had spoken about bracha levatala and a bracha she'ena tzricha. There's a Gemara Masechta Yuma, daf ayin amud aleph. The Gemara discusses the kriyas haTorah that took place in the Beis Hamikdash with the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. And the Gemara says that the Kohen Gadol would read the maftir on Yom Kippur bal peh, because they were reading the maftir from a different parasha than the kriyas haTorah, and it would be inappropriate that the tzibur, that the community, should have to wait while they would roll the Sefer Torah from one place to the next. Ask the Gemara, so why don't they just bring a second Sefer Torah? And the Gemara gives two terutzim. Rav Huna bar Yehuda explains, Chashina lepgama shel rishon. We're concerned that people will say that there was something wrong with this first Sefer Torah. Rav Rish Lakish, however, says, "Kuz brachish and tzricha." That means, if they're going to bring a second Sefer Torah, they're going to have to make another bracha for that kriya, and we're causing a brachish and tzricha. And there's a machloikis amongst the mefarshim how to understand that Gemara. Are we to understand that the two terutzim that are offered in the Gemara disagree with each other, and that the man da'amar, the second man da'amar, is concerned, Rish Lakish is concerned for a gairim bracha she'ena tzricha, whereas Rav Huna bar Yehuda is not? Or are we to understand that the Gemara is offering two explanations why they did not bring a second Sefer Torah, but not necessarily do these two opinions disagree? Perhaps this shaila is connected to the issue that we discussed in our previous year, where we mentioned the machlokes rishonim of Tosfos and the Rambam, if a bracha she'ena tzricha is an issa d'oraisa, the opinion of the Rambam, or is a bracha she'ena tzricha only an issa d'rabbanan, the opinion of Tosfos and the Ritva. And therefore we could suggest that if we hold that bracha she'ena tzricha is an issa d'oraisa, so because it's issa d'oraisa, not only must we be concerned for bracha she'ena tzricha, but we also must be concerned for a gairim bracha she'ena tzricha, causing a situation of a bracha she'ena tzricha. If, on the other hand, we hold that bracha she'ena tzricha is only a d'rabbanon, so therefore there's no room to be concerned for gairim bracha she'ena tzricha. It's clear that the halacha is that we have to be concerned for a gairim and for bracha she'ena tzricha. Not only is a bracha she'ena tzricha asur, but a gairim of a bracha she'ena tzricha is asur. And there's many situations that the Paiskim discuss that fall into the category of gairim she'ena bracha she'ena tzricha. One example is, as we discussed, the halacha is one only makes hamotzi if he eats a bread with meal, with a meal with bread. What will be halacha that, let's say, somebody's going to be eating such a meal where he's going to be eating bread, and instead of washing first and eating bread and making the hamotzi, he first eats one of the other foods that he's going to eat, and by eating those other foods, he has to make a bracha on that food, and then only afterwards he'll wash. That is in the category of gairim bracha she'ena tzricha. He should have just washed and eaten bread, and not have to make the other brachas first. However, say the Paiskim, that if it's in a situation where it's the minig, where it's customary to eat the other food before one washes. For example, one is coming to an affair, and they first have a reception, and they serve hors d'oeuvres or appetizers before the meal. So there, he's not obligated to first wash and eat bread, since that's the way the meal is normally served. Where the question comes up most commonly is the halacha we know is that on Shabbos, one is required to, on every day, there's an obligation to make meyer brachas. Ma Hashem, shalimach, al tekri ma elameya. And the Shulchan Aruch in Aruchayim, Simen Mevav, Sif Gimel, paskins that every day we're supposed to make 100 brachas. And as the Mefarshim all explain, making 100 brachas every day is not that difficult, especially we say Shmon Esrei, which is 19 brachas, three times a day. So we're almost up to 60 before we've begun. And then we have the Birchas HaShachar and other brachas. So clearly it's not that difficult to get to the number 100. Where the issue comes up, of course, is on Shabbos. And the question is, may one purposely eat the meal, finish his meal, bench, and then bring other foods to the table in order that he should be able to make more brachas to accumulate the 100 brachas, the meyer brachas that we must make every day. The Magen Avraham actually brings three different shittas regarding this very question. He says, the Shulah's opinion is that somebody on Shabbos, even if food is brought to the table, the person could say, let's wait to eat those foods till after the meal, till after we bench, in order that we should be able to accumulate meyer brachas, 100 brachas. He quotes the opinion of the Maram Galanti, however, who says that if the foods are already on the table, then he can't say, let's save and wait until after the meal. What he's saying is that what Maram Galanti says the Magen Avraham holds is don't bring those foods to the table until after benching. But if they're already on the table, to purposely say, I will bench and then make a bracha, and then afterwards, in order bench and then make a bracha in order to eat it, that would be considered a garim bracha shel tzricha. And the Sefer HaZichronos is even more stricter. His opinion is that if you knew you're going to eat those foods, doing anything else, setting up a situation of making a separate bracha is in the category of garim bracha shel tzricha. So clearly, we could certainly understand this machloikis, the Sefer HaZichronos, who takes the stricter opinion, obviously is of the opinion, like the Rambam holds, that bracha shel tzricha is an issa d'oraisa, and therefore we have to go out of our way to avoid a bracha shel tzricha. How do we understand the other two opinions? So the Shulah's opinion must be that the only time we're concerned for bracha shel tzricha, and certainly for goyrim bracha shel tzricha, is where I have no other option. But where I'm not doing it because I'm showing disrespect to the bracha. On the contrary, I'm showing respect to the bracha. I want to make 100 brachas every day. And therefore, I'm saving this food for after the meal in order to achieve that number. That wouldn't fall into the category of goyrim bracha shel tzricha. The Maram Galanti will hold that once the food is on the table and I'm intending to eat that food and it's part of the meal, doing anything but eating the food, doing anything to create a situation where I will make a new bracha is certainly considered garim bracha shel tzricha. But if the food is not on the table yet, and there's no necessity to necessarily eat the food, and in fact I may not end up eating the food, that won't be considered garim bracha shel tzricha. But what seems to be clear from here is that whenever there's a good reason not to to make another bracha. And it's not just because I'm showing disrespect for Hashem's name. That wouldn't fall into the category of Goyrim Brachash and Etzricha. And therefore the Paiskim say that there are a number of situations that are considered mutter and are not considered in the category of Goyrim Brachash and Etzricha. For example, let's say where there's a question if I should, if I'm obligated or not obligated to make a bracha. So to be goyrim, a bracha she'en etzricha, if my goal is to circumvent such a problem, so there that will be considered a goyrim bracha she'en etzricha. That means, let's give an example. Let's say somebody started eating an apple and he doesn't remember whether he made a bracha or not. So the Paiskim recommend that he should change his location from where he is. And even if he did make the bracha already, that original bracha is no longer in effect. And then he'll make a second bracha on the apple. Even though by choosing to change his location in the middle of eating, he's possibly being goyrim, a bracha she'en etzricha. But since he has this question, if he's obligated to make the bracha or not, that isn't considered a goyrim bracha she'en etzricha. Another example, which many poskim cite, is the situation where someone is on Shabbos. What halach is that we're supposed to eat three meals on Shabbos. You have to eat shalosh shudus on Shabbos. And especially if it's Shabbos is Erev Yontif, Matzah Shabbos is going to be Yontif, so we're not allowed to eat a meal on Erev Shabbos. So the Paiskim say that benching and washing again is not considered Goyrim Bracha She'en Etzricha. And it's interesting that even the Magen Avraham, who quotes these various opinions about bringing extra food to the table and making benching and then eating it, is it considered Goyrim Bracha She'en Etzricha, or is it not, takes a much more lenient approach to this situation and certainly feels that that wouldn't be considered Goyrim Bracha She'en Etzricha. There's another interesting chiddush from the Shulchan Aruch Harav. As we've mentioned already, and we'll mention again, hopefully, the halacha is that somebody who, the halacha is that if somebody's eating a food that has an ikur and a tafel, the main food and there's a tafel with it, so the halacha, as we've learned at the beginning of Parakeitz Mevarchim, and we'll learn it many times, the halacha is that you make one bracha on the ikur, and then you don't make a bracha on the tafel. What would be the halacha if somebody ate the tafel before he ate the ikur? So does he make a bracha on the tafel or not? So Shulchan Aruch Rav says that that wouldn't be considered goyrim bracha she'en etzricha, because he explains that when is it considered a goyrim bracha? That what is the definition of an ikur tafel? The definition of ikur and tafel is not to be understood, he says, that the tafel doesn't have its own chiyuv bracha. Rather, it's to be understood that once I make the bracha on the ikur, then you don't have to make a bracha on the tafel, because the tafel is already covered by the bracha on the ikur. However, if I'm not eating the tafel together with the ikur, so certainly the tafel continues to have its own independent chiyuv bracha. And since it continues to have its own independent chiyuv bracha, that is not considered a bracha she'en etzricha. If we discuss the halacha of bracha she'en etzricha, we also need to speak about the halacha, which is, of course, very, very connected, about mentioning Hashem's name. And the Paiskim all say, as does the Mishnah Berurah here, as the Halacha says here, that certainly mentioning the Shem Hashem Levatolo is considered a very serious issur. And the Mishnah Berurah says that when somebody is teaching Talmidim Hilchus Brachos, so the halacha is that when he's teaching Hilchus Brachos to his Talmidim, he could mention the whole bracha, including the Shem Hashem in the bracha. However, the Paiskim do say that if at all possible, one should avoid using Hashem's name when teaching Hilchus Brachos. The Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Tezvav says, V'dafke matinik mutal haskas Hashem. Only if we're learning with small children and we want to teach them the proper way of reciting brachas, may we say the Shem Hashem. Ava gadol shaloyim with habrachas b'gemara, the gadol who's learning Hilchus Brachos, most appropriate as we are learning Parakeitz Mevarchim and Sech the Brachos, Oimer B'loy Haskaras Hashem. He should say it without mentioning Hashem's name. The Machzis HaShekel brings a very nice raya to this halacha. It's interesting, he says, that Parakeitz Mevarchim begins Keitz Mevarchim, and the Mishnah lists a whole group of foods and mentions the bracha that's mentioned, that's said by every one of the foods. Al eitz, bari pri eitz, al pas, hamotzi lechem min haaretz, al yayin. But the one part of the bracha, the one part of the nusach bracha that applies by every bracha, which is the baruch ata Hashem, is ignored by the Mishnah. Why? So obviously the simple teretz to say is because the Mishnah is trying to point out what differentiates brachas. The Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam is common to all brachas, and since it's common to all brachas, it need not be mentioned. The Machzis HaShekel, however, says that the Mishnah is actually trying to teach us halachas. We're learning in this Mishnah the halachas of brachas. And as we just said, when learning the halachas of brachas, don't say the Shem Hashem. So the Mishnah specifically avoids saying the Shem Hashem as we speak about the Hilchus Brachos. Continues the Mishnah Berurah, V'raki shaloyim and apsukim haniskarim b'talmud. When learning the psukim that are mentioned throughout Shas, we constantly are referring to psukim as we learn Shas. V'shoyim la'omer k'mashahein emaskar sashem. So the Mishnah Berurah says that when one is learning a pasuk, he can mention the Shem Hashem. And the Paiskim discussed this halacha at great length. There's a tshuva in Yechav Adas, Chelik Gimel, Simon Yud Gimel, about this issue. And he brings a very nice raya from a gemara that we learned previously in our Masechta on Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, that the Gemara says when we were learning the halachas of a Baal Keri, and he says, Reb Nosson ben Avsholom Oimer, Af Mutar Latzila is a Talmud, a Baal Keri may learn Talmud, or Bavad Shlo Yoimer Askara Shabbat. That means that when he's learning Gemara, and he's learning a Pasuk, if he's a Baal Keri, he shouldn't mention the Shem Hashem. So what do we see? That only a Baal Keri, and as we learned earlier in our Masechta, the Din of Baal Keri of Yehuda ben Beseira says doesn't apply nowadays, because Yehuda ben Beseira said, Ein divrei Torah mekablum tumah, shenemar, as the pasuk says, Haloi koi devarei ke'esh nur ma'ashem, ma'esh ein mekablum tumah, af divrei Torah ein mekablum tumah. And therefore, he quotes the Yaivitz, who says that he used to see people who would learn Gemara, and that when they learned the Pasuk, they would try to avoid saying the Shem in the Pasuk. And this is, he says, clearly a raya that one may mention the Shem Hashem. And Rabbi Avad Yosef in that tshuva quotes a long list of Paiskim that say that you may mention the Shem Hashem when learning a Pasuk. There are Paiskim that differentiate if we're learning an entire pasuk, if we're reading an entire pasuk, versus if we're only mentioning part of the pasuk. I do have to, however, say that there are pasukim, Darach HaShulchan, and this is the minig in most yeshivas, that when we read a pasuk in the Gemara, we try to avoid saying the Shem Hashem. Another important halacha that the Taz, actually it's a Taz in Hilchus Yom Kippurim, in Simen Tov Reish Chof Aleph Sif Katan Beis, discusses the halacha of saying different the nusach in the Musaf of Yom Kippur, where we said on Hashem, on the Bashem, the different correct nusach in the Musaf, and he says using the word Adoshem, now as we pronounce Hashem's name as Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, saying Adoshem, he says, represents a lack of kavod and should not be said. The Paiskim go on to say that there are Shiva Shemesh Einan Mchakim, there are seven names of Hashem that may not be erased, and all of them are in this Isser of Shem Shemaim Levatala. Yudke Vovke, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Aleph Lamed, Elohim, Eye, Shakai, and Tzvokos. All the other Shemus Hashem don't have this halacha. They, of course, have the halacha that they're considered the Shem Hashem that may not be mentioned in a makam that's not clean. And therefore, as the halacha is, even the name Shalom, which is a Shem Hashem, may not be mentioned in a mikveh or in a bathroom if one is intending to be referring to Hashem. Rabbi Kiva Eger says that when we speak about the Shem Hashem, it doesn't only mean the Shem Hashem in Lashon Kodesh, but even when we say the Shem Hashem in different language, when we say the word G-O-D, that is also considered being Maske Shem Shemayim Levatolo. And therefore, one has to be extremely careful not to say, oh my G-O-D, because even though it's very much part, unfortunately, of the vocabulary and the vernacular of many people, according to Rabbi Kiva Eger and most Paiskim, certainly there is an Isser of Maske Shem Shemayim Levatolo. The Paiskim do want to differentiate that it may not be an Issa Daraisa, as we said in our previous year, the Gemara Masechta Temura, that everybody agrees being Maske Shem Shemayim Levatolo is considered a Issa Daraisa, an Issa Rasei. This may not be an Issa Daraisa, it may only be an Issa Darabanan, according to many Paiskim, but certainly is an Issa Darabanan where one must show the proper respect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, I saw a tshuva from Ramosha in Orachayim, Chelik Dalid, Simen Mem. It's a long tshuva about many different subjects. In the last issue that he discusses, Sif Katan Chavzayim, he discusses that there are paiskim that suggest that if somebody has a question if he is obligated to make a bracha, did he make a bracha? So instead of saying the bracha again, as we've learned and we'll continue learning, there's a rule of suffered brachas lahakal. So what they do is they say the bracha, not the regular nusach, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu, but what they will do is they'll say brich rachmana, or they'll say it maybe in English, where b'di'evid, you could be yoytza mitzvahs bracha by saying it not in the specific Lashon of Baruch Atah Hashem. Says Rav Moshe, why is a person avoiding saying a bracha? Why is there a halacha that one should avoid saying a bracha if he's not obligated to say the bracha? Because it's a shayla of Moitzi Shem Shemayim Levatala that we've been learning is such a very serious issue. If we have now the opinion of all these Paiskim, that saying Hashem's name, Levatolo, is not limited to Lashon Kodesh, but is also in all other languages, so what have I accomplished when I say it in a different language? I've still said Shem Shemayim Levatolo. And therefore he says, when somebody has a Shaila, if he's obligated to say a bracha or not, using that type of a advice will not really work. Ramosha also has a tshuva in Arachayim, Chelik Beis, Simon Kuf Mem Beis, where he discusses the issue of tapes or CDs that have on them psukim with the Shem Hashem on them. So first of all, the Paiskim say that when we speak about in our shiurim now the Isser of Moitzi Shem Shemayim Levatolo, it's only that Isser only applies when one is verbalizing the Shem Shemayim. If somebody is writing or thinking the Shem Hashem, certainly must be treated with the greatest respect. But the Isser of Laisisa, the mitzvah say of Hashem Elokecha Tira, is only when we speak out the word. However, says Ramosha, listening to a tape that has on it the Shem Hashem, furthermore, even erasing such a tape, that is the halacha, that doesn't fall into the category of Laisisa. But Ramosha says, Ramosha in general has a whole discussion about tapes with music, with psukim, which is not the subject of our shiur today, but certainly it still is the Shem Hashem and must be treated with the greatest respect. There's a very interesting psak that I saw, that if somebody comes over to you and asks you, how are you doing? And you say, thank God. Or even if you say it in Lashon Kodesh, using Hashem's name, that is not considered being Moitza Shem Shemayim Levatolo. Because being Moitza Shem Shemayim Levatolo is only in a situation where it shows disrespect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If, on the other hand, he's showing respect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's showing that everything that happens in my life, I recognize comes from Hashem, and I thank Hashem for, it's fine. However, the minig of people, the proper minig is that even under those circumstances, one should not mention Hashem's name only when absolutely necessary, as the Mishnah Berurah says, Shloi Lahaskil Shmoi HaGodl, one shouldn't mention HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Ki Im B'Dovar Shvach V'Hoida, only when he's praising Hashem's name, and the Mishnah Berurah adds the words, K'mash M'chuyev, when you're obligated to say Hashem's name. And the Pele Yoitz, in fact, says, I'm a knee, the Hachanami Tzorach Lizor Shloi Lohitzi Shemus Yisrael B'Tfilas B'Tachnunim Kodol Asagib Lav Hachi. Even when one is davening, one should avoid saying Hashem's name unless it's absolutely necessary. V'kol Ashiyoch L'mat B'Askar Hashem Yimat, as much as it's possible to limit saying Hashem's name is best. V'areza B'Chlal Mitzvah Lirs Hashem Anich V'Vadnoira. The Pele Yoitz is teaching us that we all have the opportunity to constantly fulfill this important mitzvah of Yiras Hashem, of mentioning Hashem's name. That is by avoiding using Hashem's name and constantly recognizing the greatness of Hashem. It will bring us to Yiras Shemayim and bring bracha to our lives.